You may have noticed one important fact that now must be stressed. The life of every human form is separated from God. When you look over the world of men, you are looking at forms living a sense of life that is separated from God. The life of the form that dies when the form dies is not the life of God that lives forever. And it is this separation between form and the real life which must be overcome. Wherever form and the real life are joined in one, you will see the powers of God made visible. Wherever an individual accepts the Immaculate Conception in consciousness and goes through the experience of being the life of God again and again and again until all is welded into one consciousness called life consciousness, Son of God consciousness, when that happens, you too will sing with the morning star. One universal life. One universal immaculate conception. Take it away from one man on this earth and you have taken it away from yourself. For in divine life, there is never any division. In the last lesson, among the things we learned is that the human form and the human life are separated from the life of God, and therefore the power of the life of God does not enter into human experience until this is remedied. And so when you discover that your life is barren in some areas, whatever those areas might be, you're really unaware of it at the time, but what you are missing is your own awareness that you are the life of God. And you may try to remedy this with your mind. You may say to yourself 10 times, I am the life of God. And for some reason, the power of that life does not express. It doesn't come forth as supply or employment or a happy marriage or a child who recovers from some kind of an ailment. You say, well, I thought it worked. If I'm the life of God, it's got to be better. And that is where your mystical training comes in. You see, the life of God is functioning. And your 5 senses are denying that you are the life of God. Your 5 senses are saying, I have no supply. And the life of God is saying, I am supply. And you're saying, well, go ahead and show some of it. And the life of God says, I can't. I can only express it through my own life. My own life has no supply, and the you that has no supply is not there. I can't express through nothing. Now, whenever you find a lack or limitation, or an appearance of disease or disaster, it is there because you are not living as the life of God. You are living as the life of a human form. And if you do that from now till the day when you disappear from this earth without making a change, do not expect the power of the life of God to function through you. You must unite your form with the life of God in your consciousness. You must accept the life of God as having no opposite. You must hate your life in this world. You must recognize that you have no life in this world. And you must learn the technique which enables you to do this. Because without this truth, growing in consciousness, you will not be one with the transmutation process which takes you into the experience of transition. We learn to look at all false appearances with the knowledge that they are not part of the life of God, and therefore they are not part of me, and therefore, no matter what they present, they are the tempter. And my function is to say, I, being the life of God, can look at these temptations to say that I am not the life of God and realize that they are not part of my being. And I may have to do this for the next hour or for the next year. But I've got to do it. I've got to do it so that every temptation is met with the knowledge that this condition does not exist in the life of God. That is the only way I can accept the life of God. The 70 R's on the fifth tape are the divine plan to lift you and mankind out of the wheel of mortality into divine life. All intelligent God-seeking men and women before us have labored for centuries to find the kingdom of eternal life. But they have failed in many cases because they have tried to think their way into heaven. The 70 R's are the secret path of no thought. The plan is independent of you. You either make yourself available to it or you don't. But its working does not depend on you. It is always working. The only way you can enter that plan is with your shoes off. That is, by submitting your entire being on the altar of truth and truth alone. Until you yourself become the eternal flame and the substance of the flame, and all that is not the flame is burned away. Your transmutation in consciousness from human body to eternal mystical body, from human life to eternal divine life, fulfills the mission of your soul. This is called your initiation of earth. Every soul must pass through it on its return journey to the full stature of divine individuality. To reveal this seven-pronged process to all dedicated souls has been the purpose of this mystical series. To unite you into oneness with the infinite divine force. And as this happens, you will fully realize why Jesus said, I of mine own self can do nothing. In your physical sense of body, there is an automatic process that circulates your blood. It regulates your heartbeat. It digests your food. It happens independent of you. These processes of the body are not waiting for your mind to direct them consciously. They're automatic. They function without your conscious thought. But remember, these bodily processes also break down. And they break down because they are separated from the life of God. All human body processes are merely copies. They are counterfeit copies of the perfect divine processes that now are taking place in your mystical body, in your divine life. We all know about Moses. But what we do not seem to realize is that he introduced his mystical body to mankind. And there was no method of communicating the divine idea to the mind of the struggling human race at that time. The Hebrews at that time and the world today do not recognize that the hidden manna falling from the sky was an invisible process in the mystical body of Moses. And it was working just as automatically as circulation, breathing, digestion, and heartbeats work in our human bodies. The human mind believed that the hidden manna produced by Moses in the wilderness, and later the barley loaves multiplied by Elisha, were a very special dispensation from God. But they were wrong. It was actually a spiritual principle being demonstrated, a universal, unfailing principle, which is part of the divine plan for all mankind. Moses and Elijah had discovered the principle of automatic transmutation, and they had opened the book of life, walking through the secret path of transformation into their mystical body, which automatically transmutes its own divine substance to meet every need, without human thought. It was because of this invisible mystical body that Moses could seem to die at the age of 120 and yet reappear in a conversation with Jesus 1,500 years later. Similarly, just as your human body transmutes food into energy, blood, bone, and muscle, your invisible mystical body transmutes life into spiritual energy, power, fulfillment, harmony, peace. And these divine qualities overflow into your visible life automatically as the fulfillment of every earthly need. That's what you saw in all the miraculous healings of Jesus Christ. They were performed to demonstrate the automatic principle of transmutation. I will, be thou cleansed, stretch forth thine arm, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. But instead, the world worshiped the man, Jesus. They marveled at his so-called divine powers. They memorized his inspired words. They honored him with statues and with churches. And they continued to ignore the principle of transmutation which he taught as the cornerstone of the new life for all mankind, not just for one. That one principle is still a mystery to mankind, because it was not described openly in the Bible, and because those who had no eyes to see it never brought it to the attention of those who could not see it in the Bible, and because man has continued to accept a mortal body and a temporary lifespan. We have not seen the activity of transmutation because we have not accepted our divine life. We have not accepted ourselves to be the life of God, the Son of God. Now, when we saw Jesus walking through the Holy Land, we should have observed that he left this clue when he also repeated the transmutation miracles of Moses and Elisha. The first time he multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's the number 7, the key of transmutation. That is why the numbers 5 and 2 were used. They total 7, and 7 means transmutation. He was saying, as I start with 7 and can feed 5,000, this same principle of transmutation can take man out of all the evil and death that this world knows into perfect eternal life. You remember when he was asked to repeat this miracle? He cried out with dismay. You want the loaves and the fishes, but you are overlooking the principle. Nevertheless, he did repeat the miracle. And the second time, he multiplied loaves and fishes to emphasize the why and the how of breaking material law. This time, he used 7 fishes to feed 4,000 people. And when they had finished this time, there still remained 7 baskets full. He was teaching that transmutation to your mystical body, to your divine life in that mystical body, is the divine plan, is the path of transition, is the key to survival and salvation, is the secret method by which your soul passes over the threshold of this, the fourth world, the time world, and proceeds upward beyond mortal separation into unity with the infinite. This is really the hidden meaning of the Hebrew Passover. You see, David was the 7th son. Enoch was the 7th from Adam. In 7 months, Noah's Ark rested on dry land. Jesus sent out 70 disciples. John saw 7 stars, 7 candlesticks, 7 angels. And he sent 7 letters to 7 churches. Jesus taught us to forgive. 70 times 7. The blind man recovered his vision on the 7th day, the Sabbath. God rested from his labors on the 7th day. Do you see, from cover to cover, the Bible is sprinkled with 7s and combinations of 7 to teach the great secret that man of earth must transmute to Son of God. That mortality must transmute to immortality. And that this transmutation must be total. Not partial. Total. For without total transmutation, the separation from God will continue. If we are listening to the human race, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, is ever saying, stop drifting into old age. Stop fearing. Stop suffering. Stop wondering about your future security and your health. Stop worrying about germs, radioactive atoms, inflation, recession, employment, armies going to war. And above all, stop the decaying, dying process of your body. Do what man has deemed impossible, which is not impossible to the Son of God. In face of all the personal problems and the universal problems of this world, there is a practical path for you that surmounts every obstacle, and this path has been prepared to restore you to your perfection. Don't grow old. Transmute. Don't suffer. Transmute. Don't die. Transmute. You've been given the power to let the Spirit of God, which raised many souls from the tomb of mortality, quicken your mortal body into eternal life. That quickening from dying flesh to the eternal light of your own pure being is the secret path of transmutation. The Bible calls it, by another name, the Bible calls it the descent of the Holy Ghost. When radiant light replaces the creature born of the dust of earth. When Christ is born in your consciousness as the living presence of God, and you accept this for every person, for every condition, then the Spirit of love says, be ye perfect. Ye are the light. You are not the changing creature. You are the divine child of God now, not an aging, suffering, separated, dying mortal. You are transmuted from human life, human form, to divine life in your mystical body of light. I, the life of God accepted, I transmute your body. I, the life of God accepted, I transmute your substance. I transmute your nature. I transmute your beliefs. I transmute your mind. I transmute your ways. I transmute your life. For I am the Spirit of life. And I take you into your permanent selfhood, which dwells now and forever in the finished kingdom of God. This transmutation in your consciousness is the sacred inner process ordained by Spirit for the eternal life and salvation of man. While you appear on this earth, you will never have a more deeply moving experience than inner transmutation. Everything you have felt or known in your earth consciousness, no matter how exciting or how transcendental, will appear to be only a passing sensation compared to the indescribable, all-consuming blackout of total transmutation. The world moves away. Your identity diminishes to zero. And yet another you seems to be watching the deep sleep of the old you. Part of you seems dead, maybe all of you. But strangely, There is a new life feeling. You find yourself being pulled on one hand into quicksand, out of the world. Your life force in this world comes to an almost total standstill. Not only is your body without motion or emotion, it isn't there. And your thought process moves into an infinite silence, a strange, absolute stillness, as if every previous meditation had now merged into one infinite meditation, one overpowering, eternal silence. And yet this is only the first labor pain of your rebirth. When it is finished, you will know you are living in your mystical body. You will know that divine law governs everything you do until transition and after transition. This experience cannot come to you as long as you cling to the human sense of life. We are going to pursue this in the explorations outside time, but something says to me that if we are to meet in one consciousness, it would be very good at this present moment to return to earthly things to clarify that we who strive to live in the invisible kingdom of God are not unaware of what you may term earthly responsibilities. What we are aware of is that there is a way of fulfilling earthly responsibilities without breaking your fidelity to spirit. And perhaps we might say that every time you accept any limitation or any sickness or any real so-called problem, you are really denying that you are the life of God. And so try to get the technique of turning this around, or as the Greek word is, metanoia, change of mind, turn ye and live. When you accept a problem, you are accepting another creator. You're really saying, there's another creator beside God, because look at this problem. And so you're really playing right into the old-fashioned Satan idea. You've got some kind of a second creator or devil, and there isn't any. Now, every time you accept a problem, you are denying yourself to be the Son of God. And you can't deny it by accepting the problem and accept the powers of the Son of God to function. And so, get thee behind me, Satan, is necessary in order to accept divine sonship. God is the creator of all. God is not the creator of problems. I, the Son of God, do not have a problem, even while the hurricane is bursting at the window, or the airplane is spinning out of the sky, or the flood is rising over the banks of the shore. I, the Son of God, do not have a problem. And it doesn't matter if it's a mosquito or a something in your soup at the restaurant or whatever it might be. I mean, it can be minor or major. I, the Son of God, do not have a problem. God says, there is no darkness in my life. The light of God is too pure to behold iniquity. We cannot go around contradicting the Word of God. We cannot go around violating that I am the life of God. And we cannot deny that the power of the life of God is functioning. We must remember that power is functioning invisibly until you have accepted it. Without any form of equivocation and without any exceptions of any kind. Wherever you deny the activity of the power of God because you cannot see it, you are also denying the presence of God because you cannot see God. Where God is present, the power of God is functioning. And when you deny the presence of the power, you deny the presence of the presence. And you are denying the life of God as your life. What are you doing it with? You're doing it with a second mind. You're not in oneness with the life because you're in a different mind than the mind of God, aren't you? You're not in the Christ mind. You're in a human mind, a sense mind. And there's your problem. The sense mind denies the presence and the power of the life of God. The sense mind presents and accepts the problem. And that sense mind is really within the world mind, and you are being treated like an atomic robot. You're nothing but a puppet in the world mind, which uses your sense mind to present what is not there, making it all so real to you. I haven't any supply. Neither did those in the wilderness who had only 2 and 5 loaves and fishes. Well, Jesus isn't here to do it for me. No, but Christ is. The principle of Christ in you, as the life of you, is the principle that Jesus taught in the wilderness. But before you can accept it, you are going to have to sacrifice your tremendous brain power, which is so superior to the Word of God. When you sacrifice your brain power and accept that the mind of God knows more than your brain, and surrender to the mind of God, the life of God, and accept the mind of God as your mind, the consciousness of God as your consciousness, because the consciousness of the life of God is also your consciousness. Then you can say to your human mind, be still. And even though your human mind can't see through the problem, your fidelity to the knowledge that you are the life of God is your only offense and defense. That's how you get out of being an image, accepting images. And stop making God the creator of this world. Stop accepting your temporary sense of body, your temporary sense of conditions, your temporary sense of life, your temporary sense of flesh. Stop accepting sickness, pain, fear, and dying as part of real creation. As you face these human issues with that one consciousness, you are standing fast, and you will behold the salvation of the Lord within yourself. We are soon going to meet, and the messages will be taped, of course, so that those of you who are not able to come can join the spiritual feast with us. And it seems right at this time to join in the acceptance of one life. Never my life, or his life, or her life, but one universal divine life without opposite. We're standing above the world illusion. And an angel from God is entering our consciousness to announce the glorious news that we shall be overshadowed that our mind shall no longer hold sway, that we can with total peace surrender to our own divine life. Be thou perfect as thy Father. While you walk this earth, accept your invisible perfection. Live in your own invisibility, and your visible world will be transformed. The Son of God will walk this earth where you appear to be. And that Son of God will be your permanent self. Bring the blessing of your divine consciousness to the seminar. And what you take home with you will be beyond all human expectations. Love is the prevailing feeling at this moment. A love of the truth of God. A love of the truth that we can share as one. A love of where we are going and why. A love of all that God is. With that love, we say, Aloha, until we meet at Avila Beach to shake hands, to look at each other with eyes that see the reality, where the world sees only the form. See you very soon.